Here we go. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Wednesday, March the 6th, in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and we're going to be taking an email that we received from Alex McFarland. Schoolyard bullying. It's working on the church. Alex begins the article by talking about the Antichrist, anti-morality, and anti-biblical worldviews are applying a very old tactic to accomplish what years of protesting did not. Domination by means of intimidation. Why outmaneuver your foe politically or confront them in the arena of ideas when you can label and libel them into submission? The shock and block technique has silenced a number of American congregations who are Christian. In the third grade, Alex remembers kids twisting other people's names into playground slurs. Eleanor Smelliner, Billy Vanilla, Icky Vicky. Today's phobia haterists have mechanized the process. They actually manufacture terms out of thin air. Transphobic, cisgender, non-binary, omnigender, and so forth. Name-calling and sophomore sophistry have sadly supplanted productive good faith discourse. Those against Christianity use social media to vitalize the newly minted phrase. Until people hear it enough, they think they know what it means, and they begin to use it. Finally, weaponize it against the group you want to demonize. Blankophobe, you whatever my identity is hater. What's the result? The result is often silence on the part of the Christian church. It's schoolyard bullying 101 with a social justice spin. And it is working, unfortunately, on the Christian church. Using that strategy, believers in equal opportunity, they become racist. You have DEI and ESG replaced initiative-based advancement. Conservatism becomes a derangement syndrome. Arson and looting, which has occurred in some states against Christian churches, becomes mostly peaceful protests or reparations. Believing in biblical morality becomes phobic. Daring to express an opposing opinion becomes disinformation. Expressing support for someone who isn't being investigated for Communist Party money, laundering, or doing cocaine in the White House makes you a MAGA extremist. The most egregious categories to which one would descend in referring to others are conservative, constitutional, and now Christian. The first two, conservative and constitutional, are constant targets. But when the focus group noted that 63% of the population are Christians, an idea emerged. Disparage an entire group using their own name, Christians, literally followers of Jesus Christ. And that became Christian nationalism. It worked. A number of Christian pulpits became silent. Some denominations rewrote their beliefs. I can't believe how many denominations think it's okay to ordain women to the pastoral ministry. Some have even suggested that abortion can even be a Christian point of view. And suicide, if you have a terrible disease and you want a peaceful end, what's wrong with that? Instead, have you noticed how people, instead of referring to themselves as Christians, call themselves people of faith? So, what can a pastor do? What can laity in the church do? The Christian leader, the pastor, represents our nation's best hope and solution. You and your timeless, biblically informed beliefs are not the problem. First of all, as a pastor or a member of a congregation, stand unashamedly on biblical values. You see, you are the solution, not the problem. And when you stand unashamedly on biblical values, for example, being against a homosexual lifestyle, expect to be opposed. Declare that God hates sin. That's Proverbs 8:13. And then preach and witness to encourage your people to profess biblical truth with moral clarity. Now, when you encounter opposition, and according to the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, you will, do not mistake becoming loud in your arguments for legitimate discussion. Never confuse rant with right. State plainly that pride is still a sin. Pride goes before destruction. And taking pride in sin only multiplies the punishment. Proverbs 16:18. and a haughty spirit leads to a fall. In other words, we take a Christian stand, a biblical stand, not because we are proud, but because we are humble. And we want to make sure that others who hear us hear the word of God properly. Know that you are in good company when you are being accused of hatred speech. Patriotic advocates of truth and moral clarity have included the brilliant Antonin Scalia, the eloquent William F. Buckley, the media savvy Rush Limbaugh. Clergy before you and laity, mindful of the religious freedoms at risk, they stood on truth. Names like Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell, Dr. Alveda King, Father Frank Pavone, Franklin Graham. Now it's the turn of pastors and confessional laity. The Ephesians 6 spiritual is becoming tangible. The father of lies, who is the devil, is hosting the 11 o'clock news. The socialists, globalists, and others want to obliterate biblical absolutes and enshrine their man-made norms. Today's social warriors endorse things that would horrify FDR and JFK. Know, though, that these social warriors are not just the enemy, but they are the mouthpiece of the enemy. They all become like Eve in the Garden of Eden, listening to Satan and deciding, well, Satan says we'll become like God if we eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God says that we will die. Well, I'll take the former choice, obviously. And that's what the social medias are doing today, giving us choices that sound really good. For example, I read an article recently that said that when we are confronting people who are teaching false doctrine, you need to begin to understand where they are coming from. You need to get into their shoes. Because when you get into their shoes and you express what they are saying in a way that helps them to think that you are really listening to them, then supposedly they're going to become more friendly and not persecute you. Will you please give me an example of one time when Jesus became more friendly with those who were enemies of the cross? And by becoming more friendly, while they were still enemies of the cross, they changed their mind. No, it doesn't happen. They can receive faith as a gift from the Holy Spirit, and that will change their mind. And the segments of faith that make a difference can be stated by the pastor or the Christian. But for today's warriors against the Christian church, they're going to call us names. They're going to make us think that we aren't even human beings because we don't love them. You know, if we didn't love, for example, people who are practicing the gay movement, then we wouldn't speak out against them. Because by keeping silent, they end up going to hell. So the social medias who are against Christianity have it backwards. They think that we hate people when we speak against their lifestyles that are inappropriate. No, that's when we love people. Whether those people are members of the family or relatives or neighbors or co-workers, take the opportunity, for this is your moment, morally, historically, and biblically, as in Jesus' day, when the salt stings, the wounded will shriek. Expect it. When the light reveals the rats, some will run, others will resist. This is an Ezekiel 44:23 hour. What does it say? Teach my people the difference between the holy and the common, and show them how to distinguish between the unclean and the clean. Share with them the way that they can become clean. And it is not by doing good works in their minds so God is pleased with them. Because if they remain in their former state, it is impossible to do a good work with proper motivation. Only when we come to believe in the promises of Jesus Christ, only when we believe in his incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, and of course his exaltation, then we are ready to speak the word. I heard a very interesting statement. A soldier is crying out to the captain of the army, "Sir, we are completely surrounded," the soldier cried out. The general surveyed the battlefield and he smiled. Why would he smile if he is completely surrounded? He remarked, "Finally, we have them exactly where we want them. Attack in all directions." What a good concept. That wherever we are, we're going to be dealing with people who do not believe God's word, attack their teachings. You don't necessarily need to attack them. Don't do what they do in saying things about them that embarrasses them or simply may not even be true, but just to get even. No, we're not here to get even. We're here to share the greatest message the world has ever heard. The message that God came to individuals while they were enemies of the church and proclaimed a message of peace and forgiveness. That is what comes off of our lips with smiles on our faces as we give them the greatest good joy that they can possibly hear. And then leave it up to the Holy Spirit to create faith in them. Yes, that's what pastors and laity can do. And to get more immersed in that way of thinking, keep listening to the many programs on AM 850 KFUO. Tell your people around the world, your relatives, your neighbors. You can hear this on the internet by going to KFUO.org and listening to the programs. And then don't be surprised when people who hear these programs begin to realize, no, you really do love them because you're giving them an out from the sins that they are doing, an out that occurred at the cross of Jesus Christ, who died so that Christians never really die, and who lives so that we live eternally. That's the good news of knowing the distinctions between the law that people think they have to obey in order to be saved. But instead, it is the gospel that they believe in order to be saved. They do not merit their salvation. They inherit their salvation. That's what needs to be on the lips of Christians. And it can be found in many passages. Jesus attempts to tell people. Take a look at the passage where the rich man comes to Jesus. What must I do to be saved? Well, Jesus makes clear to him, there's nothing he can do to save himself, because all his works fall short of the glory of God, because they come from the motivation of an unclean person. First, become clean by being baptized in the sacrament of holy baptism, and then receiving on a regular basis the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, which promises you the gift of the forgiveness of sins. And it is that which saves. It is that which is going to send you to heaven. Or better yet, it is that which brings you to heaven. Because Jesus came to earth for the purpose of carrying you back with him into heaven, so that as a Christian, you can be sure that you will spend an eternity with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That is the good news of the Christian faith. That is the good news of those who walk the narrow path of righteousness that's given to them as a gift from God because of the cross of Jesus Christ. In Christ, you cannot lose, but you will win the race, wear the crown of glory, be dressed in the white robes of righteousness, and be in heaven with no sin of thought, word, or deed. I'm Tom Baker. Join with us tomorrow to continue a discussion of the important distinction between law and gospel. Until tomorrow, God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.